This is the Career Insights Podcast, brought to you by the University of Southern Queensland Careers and Employability Team.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Career Insights, where it's all about how to develop your professional identity, engage with industry and build experience, strengthen your confidence in career planning, and become the most employable you can be. I'm Jennifer Luke, Career Development Practitioner and Researcher with the University of Southern Queensland and a member of USQ's Careers and Employability Team. How does your study area open up opportunities in your chosen industry, as well as into other sectors? Have you ever thought about how your study area can expand into these different sectors? Today's guests are immersed within the growing space industry, but have fantastic examples and insights on the various occupations available and the multidiscipline skills being sought after in this sector. You'll be surprised by the variety of opportunities out there. I'd like to welcome USQ's Professor of and Director of the Centre for Astrophysics, Professor Brad Carter, and also James O'Connor, who is a science communicator, educator, and researcher. So hi there, Brad and James, and welcome.
Thank you very much. Hello.
Hi. Hi, thanks for having us.
Well, look, thanks for coming along for this episode. And I think the first thing before we start with anything else is I'd love to get a little bit of an overview of your current professional focus. So I might actually start with you, Brad.
Sure. So I guess you'd say that I'm into astronomical and space sciences. So that's studying universe, stars and planets, but also a focus on the technology and the science associated with space exploration and satellites and that sort of thing.
Wow, that is very exciting, all these areas that you're focusing on. And there's so much I'm going to be following up on just what you said there. So thank you, Brad. And I would just ask James if you'd like to provide also a bit of an overview of where you're at the moment.
Hi, so I'm studying my Master's by Research at USQ Springfield, and I am a former science teacher that's decided to move into doing research and science communication. I'm a planetary scientist with a geophysics background.
Thank you, James. And with what both of you have said, I can already see quite a lot of different areas there and so many different skills that are used in those different areas, and also where there's quite a few skills that could be transferred between the different areas you've mentioned, including education, as you've mentioned, James. So I'd probably just ask next is with previous experience, so I might come back to you first, James, because you mentioned about that educator side of things, is with your previous experience, what is it that you have been involved in before you came and started doing your research?
Before I started at the University of Southern Queensland, I was teaching science to high school students and quite actively, really involved on the ground, basically making sure that kids were sufficiently educated to try and aspire to the university sector. So that's why I guess it's so nice to now be in the university sector to sort of see some of those students now able to come through and actually study science degrees and engineering degrees.
And what I think is so fantastic about that, just before I jump across to Brad, is the fact you mentioned there about encouraging students to be looking at these different areas and going on to university. Would you see the skills you have as a teacher and as an educator being very useful in what you're doing now with the research and just in the space industry in general?
Most definitely. I've been very fortunate at University of Southern Queensland to do lecturing for the last 2 years in environmental studies. And I probably wouldn't have got that opportunity if I hadn't already been a science teacher. But also more broadly, in terms of going to conferences such as the Australian Space Research Conference, I found it a really good avenue to connect with other educators and researchers. And there's a fairly strong overlap between science teaching and moving towards academia.
Thank you. And moving from that across to you, Brad, I would then be asking you is that with what you're involved in now and the experience that you have working within research, but as a lecturer in your role as a professor, is What led you to all of this? So going back to your previous experience, have you always worked in the academic space, or have you worked in other industry sectors beforehand?
So I guess the best way to answer that is I've really been a fan of astronomy and space ever since I was a kid. And I guess my early influences were things like popular books and TV, movies, and even finding like-minded students. So I've always been keen on the universe and studying astronomy. I've also always been keen on space exploration as a grand challenge for humanity. And I guess that has led me from an early age then into a more academic environment. So the reality is that I've been either in school or university. But what I would say is that doesn't mean to say you're in an ivory tower. The fact you're in academe doesn't exclude you from the real world. Quite the reverse. In fact, I would argue that those of us in academe tend to take an interest in the world at large, and even the economic and other drivers that govern, you know, things like jobs and careers. So I think those of us in academe have to take a professional interest in what the future holds in terms of the career paths and skill sets that people need to make good in the world of work.
And with everything you just said, Brad, thank you for that, because that actually opens up a whole heap of questions that I'm about to hit you both with. And I would probably follow up the fact you mentioned there about it's important to be aware of what's happening out in industry, and particularly with what we're looking at with the theme of today's episode. We're looking at that understanding of what's happening out in the workforce and about the fact that what you study can transfer across to other industry sectors as well. What you said then really aligns with then the next question, which I will follow up with you then, is with what you're working within and helping students with their research and everything to do with space, astronomy, and related areas, what would be some of the other industry sectors that you see that align very much with what you're doing, or where the space industry in general is? You know, where could people from other disciplines also be drawn towards the space industry?
Well, that's a great question, and there's a big answer there. But I guess in the most simplest terms, when you're interested in astronomy and space, you really need to be studying science. And so studying science and technology is the basis not just for getting a job to do with the space industry or studying astronomy, studying the stars, but it really enables you for a huge range of careers. So, for example, if you become good at computing, programming, you can also be interested in numbers, maths and stats. You can end up being a data scientist, which is a very well-paying area of employment with strong growth. And a data scientist these days can be an astronomer. In many ways, astronomy is the cutting edge of data science, because there are new generations of telescopes coming online with huge amounts of data on the night sky being analyzed. And so data science and astronomy go together ever more every year. So that's one area. If you're inclined to tinker and like technology and want to do engineering of any sort, engineering is a great way to not only be part of the space industry and to even be interested in building telescopes, because there's a lot of high-tech engineering in next-generation telescopes and keeping them going. Engineering is clearly a profession which has many application areas in this day and age. So the good news story is, if you have a passion for and an interest in science and technology, the career options are very broad, and you can, in fact, go from an educational area, school teaching, university teaching, through to applied areas, so that you're involved in IT projects or engineering projects. And of course, if you're fortunate, you can get involved in doing research, literally developing next generation technology. And in fact, as a physicist, I would argue that physics is at the heart of future technology. And one great example, of course, is quantum computing. So physics is at the cutting edge of a revolution in the way we build computers. And that will be utterly transformative, just like the silicon chip. And that is an interesting mixture of high-end physics, but also increasingly sophisticated technology. So there's this wonderful interplay that goes on between science and technology. And in the best circumstances, you get to build new technology that pushes the frontiers of science. And in doing so, you generate new technology that has potentially wide commercial applications. And so the standout example, of course, in astronomy in Australia is the invention of Wi-Fi. So someone studying black holes using radio astronomy came up with technology that is a critical part of modern Wi-Fi. And so it's a nice example of why you do science for its own sake. But along the way, history shows that mucking around with science and the technology and doing clever, interesting things and innovation, essentially, innovation can lead you to all sorts of exciting breakthroughs. And that has very real economic and commercial drivers. And in fact, someone once worked out that a very large proportion of the entire modern economy of the United States can be traced back to developments in physics in the early 20th century. So even though there's a long lead time between the science and the technology, astronomy and space, for that matter, are both areas where doing things for interest is fine and I think justifies doing things, but there's also a payoff. The tricky part for governments, though, and investors is you don't know where and when these payoffs come. So if you're a sensible government, you invest in a whole range of scientific and technological enterprises, and sometimes you just get great science, and other times you get something quite revolutionary that the nation can benefit from. There's also the more general important area, given today's focus, is that astronomy and space are great areas to learn all sorts of skills that apply well beyond those areas. So essentially, learning maths, physics, computing, statistics, also, in a sense, being a communicator, working in teams, and developing soft skills, all of those things come together in research teams that are engaged in astronomy and in space research. And those sorts of skills are leading to other opportunities. So there are a number of examples in Australia where astronomers and astronomy teams have translated what their skills are into more so-called real-world areas. And it's the general picture of how investing in science and research does pay dividends, both in terms of a skilled workforce, but also in essentially being part of modern forward-looking economies.
Thank you, Brad. You have just answered about three questions I was about to ask you, which is fantastic. And before I jump over to James, because what you've said there was a couple of things I'm going to follow up with James on. But you mentioned there about the Wi-Fi, which I have read about in the past about the invention of Wi-Fi. And you actually clarified for me quite a bit about where that the origins of all of that was. And I think it's a perfect example of what you said about the investment in STEM, in, you know, the science, technology, engineering and maths, and all of that, and just within the space industry, the number of different areas and different skills you can use. I might then follow on with you, James, is that the fact that you do a lot of work with science communication as well as science education, it leads through into, as well as all those technical skills that Brad was talking about that are so much core to all of this, is that Brad also mentioned about the communication skills as well. So from a communications point of view, what is your take on the importance of having those communication skills, but also in that education? Because your role as a lecturer, you actually lecture in another area of science, don't you?
Yeah, I've been really fortunate to lecture environmental studies on campus at University of Southern Queensland, Springfield campus. And with that, you might think that's actually quite different from obviously talking about space science and astrophysics. However, the great thing is that when people start to have these conversations with you about space, inevitably you get people saying, shouldn't we be spending the money, for example, looking after our own planet? And I say, well, that's absolutely right. And a lot of the technological spin-offs that have occurred from, such as Wi-Fi, such as investing in space technology, have actually directly benefited our planet. And it's by, for example, understanding how our climate works, being able to see other planets and having a greater perspective based on even our understanding of our own solar system, searching for other planets around other stars, how how we fit into the universe in terms of how unique is our planet. So there's a really beautiful interplay between planetary science and then extending that into astronomy and looking outside our solar system, such as using, for example, our facility at Mount Kent to look for exoplanets and to do follow-up work for NASA's test mission. So there's a whole lot of stuff that's important. In terms of being a really good communicator, also it's about being able to communicate clearly and easily to your audience. So people are obviously using so many different mediums of communication now, from Snapchat, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and so forth. And if you do have an understanding, for example, even just of one of these particular forms of communication, then you can quite well utilize that to add, a further depth to your research and interests. So for myself, I've created an Instagram channel called Educating Space, which I've built to over 10,000 followers. And that's been a really useful exercise because, you want to show people that you're excited about your science, but also it gives me an opportunity to showcase other people that are similarly passionate about their area of science and space science, specifically in Australia.
And it's a fantastic example you've provided there as well. What's been great is that both of you have shown the skills that you need, that are needed and I'm focusing on the space industry in particular because it's what we're hearing about. And it's, as you've mentioned, Brad, there's a lot of investment needed in that too, is mm-hmm. that you've got all the technical skills, but as you said, James, it's that communication side as well. And the environmental science, which I knew that was what you were involved in, and it's something that not a lot of people stop to think about how that connects in as well. And I'd probably then ask you both, following on from that, is just as an example, if you had a Bachelor of Arts student or a journalism student, someone that was focusing more in communications, but they were a big science fiction fan or someone who had a very strong interest in astronomy, just not to the point of wanting to study it. They were more in that communication side. And I might ask you first, Brad, and then jump to you, James, just to get your thoughts on this, is that if you had a student like that, that was really keen to get involved in, say, the space industry, especially here in Australia, and they came from a very strong communication journalism side of things, is there a way that they can be involved, do you believe? So, Brad, I'd ask probably you first.
Yeah, absolutely. The answer is an affirmative. There is a very important role for communicators in the space industry because the space industry globally is vast. And Australia is only developing its space industry relatively recently, even though it's developing fast. And so it's really important for everyone to be aware of state of the art. And there are already communication mechanisms. So there's sort of emailed newsletters and things. And there's a whole communications infrastructure that's developed so that locally in Australia, people get to know what everyone else is doing because we're a small nation and it's really important for us to get together and collaborate as much as possible. So there's communications at the heart of building a unified national effort in terms of the space efforts. And it's also, of course, important to get a deep understanding of what's happening internationally and for people internationally to understand what Australia can do. Because as you can imagine, if our goal is to develop the Australian space industry, it really is about engaging ever more effectively with international markets, particularly in the United States. And that means two-way communication, the real world understanding what Australia does, those of us in Australia understanding where there are complementary strengths and abilities. And in many ways, it's also about reaching beyond the space industry because a number of the skills that you might want to develop the space program are in fact way outside of the space program. So the space industry needs accountants, it needs teachers, it needs office managers, it needs engineers, it needs data scientists and astronomers. All sorts of people can come together in a really nice way. And at the heart of that is effective communication.
One thing I'd like to jump in and say is that Sir Arthur C. Clarke was actually obviously a very famous science fiction writer. However, he originally joined the British Interplanetary Society, which is actually the oldest space advocacy organization in the world. And he also proposed a satellite system called geostationary orbits. So I think he's a brilliant example of how someone that is obviously a very strong creative can have a huge influence on potential, on future generations. There are many, many scientists out there right now that grew up reading his books and were probably inspired to pursue the path that they took directly as a result of the work that Sir Arthur C. Clarke did. And I mean, you know, for people that are willing to delve into find out, have that active interest in space exploration and space travel, the more that they can educate themselves about the difficulty, for example, that will be faced by potential future travelers to anywhere beyond Earth, low Earth orbit, the better that they can perhaps make their writing and the more believable and the more you'll feel that you're actually going to be inspired by that work.
And I'm glad you actually brought that up. And sorry, Brad, did you want to add something from there?
Briefly, I think there's a role for, as James indicated, creatives. It's inspirational. A lot of scientists and engineers are inspired by science fiction. So great storytelling about the possibility of science in the future is inspirational for many. And the other thing is, of course, in an age of disinformation and misinformation, it's really good to have high-quality journalism because there's an ever-increasing appetite for high-quality information about the science and the technology in the future. So people who are able to be communicating as well as understanding science are in demand.
And I think that's a great way to link in what you just said there, Brad, to coming back to what I was going to ask you then, James, is where you mentioned about the work you're doing on social media in putting out that education, space education. It's really great with what Brad just said then and what you also said about with just the creative works that are done. I'm thinking of quite a few authors that are, you know, those science fiction authors that, and also just, and I'm going to bring in Star Trek, for example, there's things that popped up in Star Trek that are actually real now, as in technology. And so you can sort of link it back to, it was someone's creative idea put down on paper that led to some of the changes that have happened in technology, which could be within space. But just coming back to that, what you were mentioned before, James, about your social media side, is that something that you are seeing as doing what Brad mentioned about it's a greater reach? You're not just aiming for people who are already in the industry. You're wanting to encourage people that maybe don't understand the space industry as well, but getting them fired up about it.
Absolutely. I make no, I don't hide the fact that I would like to see more funding for our Australian Space Agency, which is just incidentally just turned 3 today. So happy birthday, Australian Space Agency. Why would I like to see more money specifically going into our space agencies? Because I'd like our space agency to be slightly more like Canada's space agency. Why do I want it to be more like Canada's space agency? Well, it's because Canadian kids that are growing up now can aspire to become astronauts, and they have human spaceflight. Now, remember, they're not launching the rockets themselves, but they have astronauts, and they have the right to, you know, they have the ability to, for example, to aspire to go to the International Space Station or to the moon or beyond, because they are already in that game in terms of actually having a human spaceflight. An astronaut corps. So I've, as an outreach activity, been actively pushing for Australia to have an astronaut. And I've met both of the former Australian citizens that have both had to take up US citizenship in order to go into orbit. So there's only two Australians that have been into orbit that went up as professional astronauts for NASA. And I think that honestly, if you could say what would be one thing you as a science teacher could leave behind, it would be, if I really wanted to encourage kids to do STEM, I would show them that they could aspire to become astronauts.
And look, that's really interesting, just tying that in with the Canadian programs. And what I would probably then ask you both is, if there was a student, whether that was a high school student or even someone who's studying at uni or someone who's thinking about doing study, is there some way that you could find some form of work experience or somewhere where you can, and I don't mean you'd be working at the space agency itself, but is there somewhere where there would be a way to pick up experience or to connect with someone as a mentor to give you at least a bit of a push in the right direction towards one of these skill avenues that would lead you to the space industry. So if I go back to you, Brad, first, is there anything that you can think of that you would suggest as being a potential starting point to pick up a bit of experience?
Yeah, there are a few things that come to mind. I mean, there are clubs these days. There are astronomy and space type clubs. So even very young people can get involved. Brisbane, for example, is fortunate to have a planetarium. In fact, Brisbane is probably the only city in the world named after an astronomer. So going to a planetarium or museum, joining a club. Schools often have really good programs in astronomy and space, extracurricular activity. There's, of course, work experience at universities in astronomy and space. For high school students, there are even now, I'm pleased to say, sort of emerging companies around the nation like Gilmore Space that are serious about building rockets. So I think over time, for younger people especially, there'll be increasing opportunities to visit and interact with space-related businesses as well as government-funded infrastructure. There's a Space Discovery Centre in Adelaide, not opened long ago. So there's more, ever more, for young Australians to interact with in terms of space places, if you like, even observatories like Siding Spring and Mount Stromlo and parks. These are all great space places for young people to go and learn about the universe and also the possibilities of space.
I think that's fantastic. And I will say that parks is on my bucket list. That's one of those places I definitely want to go and check out. But I think it's great just highlighting is that actually go to the planetariums, you know, like go where you can learn more. And it's I'd probably then maybe say, James, just following on from what Brad mentioned, is that the importance of connecting with people. Is that what would be some of the things that you would say to a student or someone that might just be saying, I'd love to just find out, how do I even find other people? Where can you connect? Because Brad has provided some examples there, but what would you say?
There's some terrific organisations in Australia that certainly cater for interests. As a child, I was involved with the Air Training Corps, which was obviously Air Force cadets, but there's certainly no shortage of other places, like, for example, the Australian Youth Aerospace Forum, which is quite active. There's also Mars Society Australia. There's quite a number. And also with having the number of groups that have Facebook groups is fairly quick and easy to sort of look up space associations and connect through planetariums. So going to a local planetarium is a really great idea because you're going to be able to get access to, local infrastructure and local experts that will definitely be able to encourage kids to pursue their interests. So, for example, if they're really interested in space, a trip to the Brisbane Planetarium is highly recommended. It's a really fantastic place here in Brisbane.
And well, look, you've both convinced me that I need to go for a trip up to the Brisbane Planetarium. But I'd probably then just ask you, Brad, is going on from what James just mentioned, is that what about if it wasn't a school student, but it was someone who maybe was even an engineer or it could be a doctor, a nurse, someone who's from a completely different industry and they've realized, you know what, I do want a career change and I've been obsessed with space. I just never knew where to start and I didn't think I had the skills or knowledge to even start. What would you say to someone there, some more of a mature age potential student?
Yeah, there's a few options. The Australian Space Agency is an obvious point of contact and it might be able to help guide someone, for example, someone who is a doctor interested in space medicine. There are also, of course, research groups around the university, so a bit of online searching will reveal a number of really fascinating space-related research and development groups now operating across Australia's universities. There's also an annual conference called the Australian Space Research Conference, which continues to go from strength to strength. And that's a great place for anything space-related, including space medicine and space archaeology, which is, you know, looking at the older equipment in the earlier days of the space program. We can also use space for archaeology, of course, and that is to look at subsurface ground structures using satellites. So there's as many connections as you want to find. Space and astronomy are very broad areas, and to be honest, there's room for anyone with an interest. So my advice would be to look for the intersection between your interests and skills and what jobs there might be out there, what education may be out there, and find that intersection point and follow your path, whether it's data science, materials engineering, optics, photonics, which is a fancy optical electronic hybrid. There are all sorts of areas there where if you're good at what you do, if you're interested in what you do, there are likely to be educational and career options for you. And that can be very broad, essentially any field of human endeavor where you're sufficiently passionate and good at it, there's probably a good space connection to be found.
And you just answered something I've been wondering about for a while. And I know I've asked you previously, I've asked both of you previously, what you meant by space, being a space doctor, space medicine, or even space archaeology. And you've actually explained it just there because it's those areas that people just don't think to connect. So I would probably, just to finish up, because both of you have provided so much, and I had said beforehand that the questions I was going to ask would just flow through of what you said, and there's been a lot of detail you've both provided. So I would probably just say at the end, as a final question to you both, is what would be your final words or advice to anyone, whether they're a student or just a member of the public who's going, you know, I've always wondered about where there'd be some opportunities within the space industry. What would be your final words or advice to someone who was thinking about building a career or at least a doorway to poke their head in and have a look to see? So maybe if I start with you, James, and then finish with you, Brad, is that what would be your final words of advice, just as a summary?
Try and do what you love, because you'll find it easier to stick to it. The other thing is, try and be long-term about your goals. So look to see where you'd really like to end up, and then try and find out, are there other people that have got to that particular position that you're trying to get to, and find out what they did to reach that particular goal. So I guess what that means is just not seeing it as being an impossible goal, but just to break it down into particular steps, and to try and encourage those people to reach out and find mentors, and to listen to advice is really important. For people that are really interested in space, the space.gov.au website is pretty good. Down the bottom of the page, there's lots of resources that they're now thankfully putting there for STEM careers and so forth. So there's pathways for a career in space. But also just, you know, just to be mindful that, If you have a particular passion for something, to try and direct your efforts towards that, and don't regret having tried.
Thank you, James. So it's all about having that passion, knowing what you're wanting to do, and remembering to network and to build those relationships with potential mentors. Listen to that advice. And so, Brad, is there anything you'd like to add extra as what you would say is your final words on some advice?
Yeah, so briefly, I think it's about understanding your own interests, your passions, and so finding out who you are. So if you're someone who's naturally drawn to technology, tinkering with things, there's a pathway for engineering, and engineers of all sorts go into space related work. If you love working with computers, if you're naturally drawn to them, there's all sorts of data science jobs that can relate to space. If you're a communicator and you love being with people and you like educating people, there's an education or communications pathway. And then finally, no matter what you like to do, whether it's being a doctor or being an accountant or some other field of interest, whatever you do in your career, there's probably a connection between your career and space if you look hard enough.
Thank you so much, Brad. Both of you have provided, as I said before, so much information, and I think that was a perfect way to finish off this particular episode. So can I just say a big thank you to you both for your time and also just the insights that you've shared today, because even though we were talking about the space industry, it really is aligned and covers no matter what industry you're in, to be aware of those skills that can come from other disciplines as well. So not to lock yourself into a box, because space is definitely not in a box. No, and Brad just gave me the thumbs up, so it must be on the right track there. So thank you to you both for joining us today.
A pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so thanks for joining us today for another Career Insights show. A huge thank you to Professor Brad Carter and James O'Connor for joining us and generously sharing their insights.
Career Insights is brought to you by the University of Southern Queensland Careers and Employability Team and is produced by USQ Creative Arts student Byron Quayle.
At the University of Southern Queensland, we love open days and we know you will too. Explore your future stomping ground. Chat to USQ's team of lecturers, discover your options with a free career session, or get the lowdown from our students. Visit Open Days this August at USQ's Toowoomba, Springfield or Ipswich campuses, or tune in to Virtual Open Day. Register and attend for your chance to win one of four $1,000 gift cards at usq.edu.au/openday.